It's the WIB Wake Up Show, and good to have you aboard this morning. On this Thursday, it is the 10th day of June. For you in Eau Claire County, tomorrow is that June Dairy Month breakfast. It's a drive-through deal this year, and I think maybe you had to, I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. So just be reminded about that. All right, so we've got Dr. Jason Cans on the line from jasoncans.com, and he is with us for the best 5 minutes of the day. After today, we'll take a little bit of a break, another three-day weekend for you.
That would be good. You know, I am hoping to do a little bit of recording tomorrow morning, and so I thought I would take the morning off, and I'm grateful that you and Dawson are allowing me to do so.
It's a big day for Dawson tomorrow because he and Susan will be making up the WIB Wake Up Show. So, you ready, Doss?
Oh, that is up in the air.
Whether you're ready, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're learning
that,
as you go.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
That's right. All right, well, Susan's she's fired up and ready to go. So, in the meantime, so yesterday I did raise the question to you a little bit, Jason, in terms of what's up with evangelical Christianity. And one of the things we went to was Russell Moore and the Southern Baptists and his seeming departure from his job as head of Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. A letter that had leaked out regarding that, a big story from Pete Wehner in The Atlantic that you then cited a pretty lengthy quote from in a piece. So what, you felt inspiration from our conversation all the way leading to a column you posted?
Yeah, you know, I had messaged you, I don't know if it was yesterday or maybe it was yesterday I commented, as soon as we got off the phone yesterday, I felt, to quote a recent book title, a burning in my bones. And I just felt compelled to write more about what we had discussed. Is some of the disillusionment that not only I, but others have had, just in terms of things we've seen happen in evangelicalism, in Christianity. And, you know, I think so often there's this assumption that when people become critical of the church or the evangelical movement, it's because they have abandoned the faith. And I don't think that's what it means. I think often what it is it's a true desire to get back to the heart of the faith and to be willing to look deeply into our own institutional and individual sins. And so I spent quite a bit of time writing yesterday about that, you know, and honestly, I could have gone into much more depth about some of the areas where I think there are concerns that are happening.
How about the reaction to what you wrote?
You know, it's interesting. I have had a number of people who have, I think, aligned with what I wrote. Even late last night, my cousin Connie, who is one of my dear friends, had just said, "You're not alone in your disillusionment," which was something I had said in the article itself. And I know that because every week I have friends who are Christians who are reaching out and saying, "What's going on?" And, you know, so that I think there's a maybe a sense of lostness in trying to understand who are we as believers. And I think to be able to name that is good for us to do. You know, you had said yesterday, and I think it's from 1 Peter, that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And it's too common, I think, that we want to look outward and make judgments, you know, and say, you know, the problems that are happening right now in the world are because of culture. You know, people are fleeing the church because of what's happening in culture. And honestly, the stories I'm hearing, that's not the case. People are leaving the church because of what's happening in the church. Mm-hmm. And if we can't be honest about that, I don't think there's any hope for reformation in that regard.
And so you ended the column with something we've talked about a lot, being big Larry Crabb fans, his book Inside Out, which his ministry posthumously, a larger story headed up by his son, Kep, is going to try to highlight a different book every month. Inside Out is next. But this idea of Jesus telling the Pharisees, if first clean the inside of the cup and dish, it's how he ended the interview yesterday. You made some reference there. And again, while that's true individually, for us, As believers collectively, we need to look inside first, heeding that 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. So that was kind of the way you closed things out. So,
yeah, you know, I want people, those who read it, especially, I mean, even if you're disagreeing with me at points, which I suspect many people will disagree with me at points, to be able to say honestly, okay, you know, Jesus told us to take this inside look, and it's painful, but I think it's important, and I'm hopeful that it moves some of us to be able to say, boy, what actually is going on?
Mm-hmm. All right, so again, it's at jasoncans.com. Follow him on Facebook. Always thought-provoking, that's for sure. And so we will talk to you again on Monday. And in the meantime, hearing from Dan the trucker on a Thursday. He's here from Janesville, Dawson. This is what's fun. And you know, we were talking about truckers the other day. Earlier in the week, I think on Monday, we talked about courtesies paid to truckers. And Dan, give us a call back on the listener line. We want to hear your horn this morning. So 396-1670 and all the truckers, see how many trucker horns we can get today. All right, good morning, friends. 3 before 6 on a 75-degree Thursday, June the 10th. Oh, yeah, one of my good friends in Rice Lake turning a year older today. Birthday Bob Lindner today. I can't even wait till the birthday's at 6:20. Yeah, Doss. Bob Lindner, another year older today. Can you believe
it? I absolutely can.
Yeah, he's been such a great friend to our family.
Absolutely.
Right? So we love Bob.
Wonderful man.
And Faith and Cecily. And Cecily married now. So anyhow, he's a I nominated him for the Packer Fan Hall of Fame. They have a Fan Hall of Fame. There was bad judgment on the Packers, and they did not wave him in, but he belongs in there. And anyhow, great brother in the Lord. So I just couldn't wait on that birthday. First of all, good morning to Susan.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Dawson. Good morning, everybody.
Yes, good morning. And Kate Flannery turning 57 today. So
who's that?
She's an actress from The Office, actually. And so I looked it up. She portrayed Meredith Palmer.
Yeah, she's Meredith.
She's
How
Meredith
could I
on The
forget
Office.
The redhead.
But when you dig into it a little bit, they say, she's got the redhead. She says she did not set her hair on fire. Was that part of The Office at some point?
Yeah.
If only Caleb were here, she would set us all straight.
He is an Office expert. Nor did she shave her head to combat a rampant case of lice. However, when she was on Dancing with the Stars, she revealed she actually did get hit by the car and performed the stunt herself.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Meredith.
This is a stunt I wouldn't want to perform. Well, it's the family event of the summer, and every single day you wake up this summer, we're one day closer to one fest this July in Chippewa Falls. Danny Gokey, Ren Collective, Jason Gray, and I Am They live in concert. And Susan, Dawson, and I were noting this fact that on the WIB Facebook page, we had a post about one fest that Danny Gokey liked.
He did? Yeah. I didn't know
that.
The
man himself.
Danny
yeah.
Gokey liked
yes.
it. It was a snazzy picture of him in a suit. The headliner himself.
Snazzy.
Yeah.
If he liked that post, he's going to love the Chippewa Valley.
Oh, he is going to.
Yeah.
And he has been here before, but we were in Africa, so we missed him. So not going to miss him this time. Seventh time down, Hannah Kerr, Micah Tyler, and Blanca all going to be here. Micah Tyler's not going to think it's hot because he's from Texas.
Right. So, he'll say, refreshing.
Curious if anyone else is going to, you know, have a distaste for the weather. The scorching heat.
I know. One Fest, July 23rd through the 25th. You know it's going to be cooler than it's been this week. Save 10% on your tickets with promo code WWIB. Our coverage of One Fest, sponsored in part by the great folks at Wasota Collision and Customs and Chippewa Valley Grain Transport. WIB is your hometown One Fest station. Tickets at WWIB.com/OneFest.
Well, guess what? We've got some interesting notes about viruses. COVID's a virus, but this is also true for any virus, any germ out there. Researchers say that tiny aerosols of viruses emitted when speaking linger in the air for longer than larger droplets from a cough or sneeze, which fall to the ground over short distances because they are heavier. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So we're so concerned about coughing and sneezing, but actually talking has a finer spray and could actually contribute more to people's illnesses.
Right. We all saw during COVID early, and we saw the video, right, in terms of the spraying, and that was what kind of sent the message out there, why you wear the mask. But to me, what stood out about this story is that as you move forward, the headline is talking spreads basically germs far more than coughing or sneezing. And
right.
so historically, and even during this whole process, I think if you sneezed like in a store, some people would still like freak out. Like if you didn't have your mask on,
yeah,
because like, oh, you've been a real germ spreader.
Yeah,
but no, this is saying no. The real spreading is the talking.
Yeah, chatty Kathy like me. Typhoid Mary. So that is interesting. And I think that's one of those very practical tips we need to remember.
Uh-huh.
That even if you're not sneezing or coughing, just be conscious that you're mindful about how far. And I'm talking about flu. Flu traditionally has been really devastating for people.
Having said that, I mean, just it's amazing the numbers this year. You saw, I mean, like, and we shared it for the number of the day, one of these day past days, where, like, 2 million flu cases the year before, and this year it was so scant.
Yeah.
There were so, and the explanation was, well, people were wearing a mask.
Yeah. That's true.
But then the answer is, why was there still so much COVID if people were wearing a mask?
Because COVID is extremely contagious. It's very, very
not
contagious.
As much, not like the flu.
Right. Okay. Not as contagious. The flu is not as contagious.
Do you find that sometimes people will listen to you on medical issues and going, well, your husband's a doctor, so you would know?
Or because I'm a nurse.
There you go. That too.
But yeah, by osmosis, I'm pretty much just a doctor myself. I've been around a doctor so long.
And you've raised kids.
Set your bone. I could, you know.
Mm-hmm. Raise kids.
Anyone who's met Susan can testify she's a genius in any field of your choosing.
Hey, it's birthday Bob.
I love
Bob.
You, Dawson.
Bob's birthday in Rice Lake, and he messages us on a request Thursday. He says, good morning, Mark, Dawson, and Susan. Thank you for those warm birthday greetings, which we shared with him earlier.
Aww.
Says, speaking of love, how about the love song by no one else other than Third Day? Blessings to your day and
wonderful.
Your upcoming birthdays.
It's Trucker Thursday, and there's only one way to celebrate.
Good morning. Hello, Dan from Janesville. I don't know if this will replace, and I hope it doesn't replace, your Good Morning song. Have a great day.
Thank you for that, Dan.
Yay. It's officially Trucker Thursday. Thank you, Dan.
And more than Trucker Thursday, today, June 10th, was actually the day that the Founding Fathers called to committee the meeting that would become the writing of the Declaration of Independence, June 10th, and then they prepared for about a month or so, and then on July 4th, of course, they met, and that became Independence Day.
Huh. That's exciting, and a very efficient committee if they called, if they were called mid-June, and they had a Declaration of Independence on July 4th.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Why can't we be that efficient anymore?
Well, that
I guess
shows
they were smaller.
Yeah, well, and a unity of purpose.
Mm-hmm. And what's famous about the Declaration is the signatures, and probably nobody's more than John Hancock,
of course.
Right? The big, and they even call it your John Hancock.
That's right.
And lo and behold, on this day in 1943, the ballpoint pen was patented in the nation of Hungary.
So how about that?
Tying it together.
Well, I think that it's nice that we declared our independence from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible war, but we seem to be very close friends now, and that's good.
Oh, you're going to say terrible country.
Oh, no.
Susan's ranting about how much she hates
Could
Britain
you in a
constantly.
British accent,
off the air.
Introduce
no,
the next
no
song.
More, oh. No more accent.
Oh, come on. That was too good. Go listen to the podcast from yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to want to check out the podcast. It is remarkable. She was doing it earlier, and I was astonished.
She did multiple accents.
Well, the thing of it is my husband listened to the podcast. He said, I don't think that was a very good French accent.
He was wrong. It was good.
No, and I said, your French accent sounds like Pepe Le Pew, so...
Inside the Jacoby home on WWIB. Good morning. It's the WIB Wake Up Show here on the 10th of June. And, you know, I'm curious. I thought about this as a question this morning. Like, for your family, is there any kind of unique thing in terms of the grouping of your birthdays? Like, in our household, one of the unique things is Elena turns 16 tomorrow.
Oh.
And then I turn 57 the day after.
Interesting.
And so, yeah. So, just curious. I know that... in our family line, that we know of somebody where the dad his son and his son all had the same birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Your
That's cousin
so cool.
Maverick
yeah.
has the same birthday.
Wasn't
as,
sure where you're going with that.
As his dad yeah. and his grandpa. So
yeah, they all have the same birthday.
Kind of unique family. Anything unique with the birthdays in the Jacoby family?
No, we're equally spaced out. In fact, we had an opening for June 12th. So I'm really glad that we became friends and
you
got that opening.
There you go.
So
yeah.
happy almost birthday, my friend. You are a gift. To the station, to the listeners, to us. We love you so much. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it. This morning, Susan brought in carrot cake cookies because she asked me, what's your favorite cake? I went with carrot cake. And so I hadn't known if I've ever had carrot cake cookies.
I cook with a toaster oven, guys. My oven's broken.
And Dawson,
so they're tiny.
We each had one this morning. Delicious.
They're wonderful.
Aw, thanks. Well, you deserve a big old cake, but... Anyway,
no,
and
fantastic.
I heard you mentioned that you and Peggy had carrot cake for your wedding cake.
We did.
That's
yeah.
so good. That means everyone gets a delicious dessert.
And it's a little healthier.
Yeah, I like so it.
There are people who are critical of carrot cake, and I just don't understand.
No, me either.
I don't know. It's like a pie. I don't know. It's a cake, but I don't know. I feel like comparing it to a pie is apt.
It's a vegetable.
In terms of flavor.
You know
and
what?
Like,
it could be the raisin. The raisin people who don't like raisins sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, they're out there.
I think it's better than raisins.
But the cream cheese frosting, fantastic.
Oh, it's good. Wonderful.
Well, what are your thoughts today, Mark, as you're turning...
Well, I want to thank you, and I also want to thank Caleb. I've got the card here, and I've got not one, but two bags of trail mix.
Yeah.
A breakfast blend and another one called Belgian. So thank you. My thoughts are, yes, it is entering into the late 50s. So, I mean, to turn 57, you can't say it's early. You can't say it's really middle. It's the beginning of the late 50s.
Uh-huh.
So.
The beginning of retinol treatments.
Yeah. You know, some of the best money I ever spent was laser eye surgery.
Yes.
I got to say, you talk about the eyes.
Right.
So grateful for that. But, yeah, if I take these glasses off, which I use for reading.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely need them. And if those rare mornings I forget the glass, you have to have a backup pair ready because we do a lot of reading on
we
this
We do quite
job,
a bit of reading.
You're going to find out here, Dawson. And so you want to have your glasses absolutely essential. But grateful, I say a lot of times on the radio that we're only as joyful as we are thankful. And I want to be thankful. In fact, that would be my song request if you can find the Jimmy Needham Thankful at some point. Jimmy Needham Thankful. But I think... being grateful to God for salvation, grateful to God for my wonderful wife, Peggy, of almost 23 years, and our five kids, and grateful for, this has been my second family at WIB over the years, and grateful that they took me back after 2 years in Liberia, and privileged to be able to do the morning show here, and work as an account manager with One Source Imaging, and also with occupational chaplains.
Yes. Well,
Neil Bennett.
Well, June 10th is the anniversary of the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous, an international fellowship of men and women who have had a drinking problem. The organization was founded in 1935 by Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith, both alcoholics, who believed that people struggling with alcohol use problems could help each other overcome their addiction through mutual support. And boy, what a blessing that organization has been for anyone who's struggling, whether it's with an eating disorder or honestly, when I read the 12 steps, it's the gospel right there, admitting that you are unable on your own to conquer a struggle in your life, surrendering the whole thing to the Lord, surrendering your weaknesses and became ready to let them go. So, it's just a wonderful thing. I encourage anyone, if you don't have a copy of the 12 Steps, why don't you Google it and look it over? And it's just a great way to live your life.
I got it in front of me right here, talking about step one, admit powerlessness. Step two, believe in a higher power. Step three, turn control over to that higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth is a tough one. Conducting a moral inventory. They talk about a fearless moral inventory. And then it's the actual outworking of that, admitting your wrongdoing to at least one other person. Then you move into steps 6 through 8. Be ready to make positive change. Ask your higher power to remove your shortcomings. Step 8, make a list of people that have been hurt. Finally, make direct amends wherever possible.
Right.
And as you head down the home stretch, conducting an ongoing personal inventory, make constant improvements, and share what is learned with others. But yeah, when you talk about the marvels of the last 100 years, you can talk about putting a man on the moon and other things. AA and its impact, not only for alcohol, but for drug addicts, sex addicts, gambling addicts, you name it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It is.
And the thing that marks me the deepest is rigorous honesty.
Yes.
That we get well around the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so much for the Church of Jesus Christ to learn from Alcoholics Anonymous, which I think mm-hmm. those steps are all biblical.
Right.
And so that would be my encouragement.
They are. And actually, when you are able to be honest and you speak it out loud and you have some other person accept you, when you've told your hardest thing, your deepest thing, and then you realize, as I think I said earlier this week, if you say that to someone and they are kind to you, you know God would never let a human outmercy him. You know, if that person loves and accepts you, how much greater is God's love and acceptance for those who are repentant mm-hmm. and desire his power and love in their life.
One of my good friends in Eau Claire is a recovering alcoholic for 44 years, and he is kind of a guru in the recovery community in the Chippewa Valley. And he talks about going to that first AA meeting. And yeah, he says, I told my worst stuff, and they all gave me their phone numbers. And so there you go.
Yes.
That fellowship, that community. I got to say, I don't know about you, Susan, but I found it's when I share my weaknesses, and then people get to know me and I get to know them, right?
Right.
You're sharing our strengths. Who gets to know anybody?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, and we need to be willing to look imperfect because we are imperfect.
Amen.
And who needs Jesus if you're perfect?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are not. We are messes that God has loved. And as Dallas Willard said, Christianity is being loved in your mess.
So. Yep. And being in the body means we get to experience a taste of that love with each other, mm-hmm. which is great.
So you've been loved like that, Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now go and do likewise. There you go.
Does sound familiar? Thank You by Jimmy Needham. That song
Needham.
We could not
find. Birthday present song.
Happy birthday, Mark.